Citizen scientists collect data on bird populations in the Chilkat Valley, and the Alaska Board of Fisheries considers adjustments to the bag limit for king salmon in southeast Alaska as a result of the latest Pacific Salmon Treaty. It's the KHNS Local News. I'm Henry Leisha. Those stories are up next. When it meets in Anchorage next month, Alaska's Board of Fisheries will take up a proposed change in sport fish management for king salmon in southeast Alaska. As KFSK's Joe Viknicki reports, the new approach to setting bag limits and fishing closures is a result of the latest Pacific Salmon Treaty agreement.
Under the current management system, the Alaska Department of Fish and Game each spring releases an index number, basically a forecast of returns, and uses the number to estimate king salmon abundance up and down the coast. The Coastwide Abundance Index triggers conservation measures in both the sport and commercial fisheries in years of low abundance or more fishing opportunity when king numbers look good. But under the terms of the most recent update of the Pacific Salmon Treaty, the Coastwide Abundance Index might be out of date. The treaty with Canada was renewed for 10 years in 2018 and contains a 7.5% cut for sport and commercial king allocation. Patrick Fowler, sport fish area management biologist for Petersburg and Wrangell, explained the terms of Proposal 176 to Petersburg's Fish and Game Advisory Committee during a meeting in December.
So with changes to the treaty, our existing king salmon management plan is a little bit out of line with the new treaty.
The proposal outlines 7 different levels of management depending on abundance of king salmon. Bag limits, closures, and gear restrictions are spelled out for the different tiers. The commercial winter troll catch will determine management measures for both sport and commercial fisheries each year. In years of low abundance, the new regime could mean more region-wide closures of the sport fishery or annual limits in order to conserve kings.
So this does, you know, modify the bag possession annual limits a little bit from the existing plan. Overall, it would be a reduction in harvest.
Commercial troll fleet is allocated 80% of the catch, while the sport fleet gets 20%. That's after small portions are allocated to the seine and gillnet fleets. Charter business owner and committee member Stan Malcolm had some concerns about the change.
My industry has looked over this plan fairly closely. We think it's more restrictive than it needs to be, and it has very little flexibility in it.
Although it's a southeast issue, Proposal 176 will go before the Board of Fish during its Arctic Yukon Kuskokwim Finfish meeting January 15th through the 19th in Anchorage. In Petersburg, I'm Joe Viknicki.
Christmas hunts were a long-standing tradition before the turn of the century. But when bird populations started to decline significantly, an ornithologist named Frank Chapman came up with an alternative: counting the birds instead of killing them. Over a century later, the Audubon Society's Christmas bird count may be the longest-running citizen science project in the nation. This is its 119th year. KHNS reporter Claire Strempel joined a group of birders from Haines to learn more.
Pam Randles lifts her binoculars in the light rain and studies what look like black dots on the water.
15 mallards. Mallards are M-A-L-L.
Randles is walking towards Jones Point with her daughter and grandson. This stretch of the Chilkat River is Area 9 for the purposes of her count. The three birders will keep track of their sightings by species and number. Randles is expecting a typical winter mix.
Eagles, ducks, gulls, chickadees. Yeah, ravens, crows, blue jays, magpies. The winter group. We give out a list to everybody who's doing it and to help them with figuring it out. But it's about, a third of what we get in the summer. It's the hardy ones.
They aren't the only ones braving the rain. Other birders have staked out different zones from the Haynestown site all the way up the highway through Klukwan. At the end of the day, they'll tally counts from the 17 different areas. Their data goes to the Audubon Society, a nonprofit conservation organization. It's a way for the group to map bird populations and ultimately determine their conservation priorities.
We're getting a lot of changes, I guess I should say. More of a lot of the more southern birds, the more winter tolerant of the southern birds. And so it's changing. And that's part of why we do this, is to keep track of those changes.
Max Goldman is a conservation biologist with Audubon Alaska in Anchorage. He says the changes that Randall's is seeing are part of a broader trend as global temperatures rise.
Haines and the rest of Southeast Alaska are becoming more and more important overwintering habitat for waterfowl, especially as they no longer need to migrate as far south because the climate is conducive for them to stick around in the Haines area and the Lynn Canal area. So it's as the climate keeps warming, I think we're going to see more and more of these more temperate species, these species that migrate farther south, sticking around in the northern parts of their habitat for a little bit longer.
This trend is called range expansion. The area where certain birds can be found is growing. On one hand, this is good news for birders. There's more to see. But Goldman says he's concerned that if too many birds stay in one area, they'll be competing for finite resources.
And then those species that are specialized to subsisting and thriving in a colder climate are having to compete with new birds. So the number of resources hasn't changed, but the number of mouths at the trough has changed quite a bit.
There's not much the Audubon Society can do about limited resources, but they can keep track of where the birds go. Counts like this one show whether cold weather birds will get pushed out of the area or if their numbers decline as a result of sharing resources. So far, Goldman says, all bird populations here look strong.
I think they're golden eyes, but I'm not sure. Barrows, bagos. Just put bagos, question mark.
Bago, question mark. Got it.
Randall spots some more ducks on the water. If you haven't heard of a bago, don't worry. That's birder code for a barrow's golden eye. A duck.
I'm breaking out the app.
But leaving a question mark on the tally sheet isn't enough for Randall's, so she pulls out her cell phone.
It might be harlequins. It is. It's four harlequin females,
sweet,
which is not terribly common this time of year.
One December sighting of a few harlequin is unusual, though not unheard of. But when added to the Audubon Society's nearly 120 years of bird count data, it could give conservationists and researchers new insight into a changing world. For now, the harlequins swim upstream, skirting the ice. In Haines, I'm Claire Strimple.
For KHNS, I'm Henry Leisha. Thanks for joining us tonight. You can listen to and read local news stories on our website, khns.org. You can also check us out on the Stitcher app and the NPR One app.